This morning is how highly do you honor Jesus? And it's found in the scriptures that Cheryl read this morning. And so good morning. I'm thankful for each and every one of you this morning. And did you know that when you spend time in prayer and you spend time in the Word, you become a more thankful person? How many of you know that? You become a more thankful person. So, you know, if when I stand here and I open up the message, I say, you know what, I'm really thankful for you. I'm even thankful for all the people who played hooky today, you know. And but I'm thankful. And that happens because the more you're in the Word and the more you pray, you become a thankful person. Yep, it's true. Amen? Amen. I know that myself, if I'm not as diligent as I should be and to be in the Word and stuff, I could grumble. How many of you are grumblers sometimes? And, you know, and so the evidence is it's that, you know, like if you're honest, if you're grumbling all the time, the chances are probably if you're honest with each other, you're not in the Word, right? Because if you're in the Word, your life is going to produce fruit, right? So this morning we're going to look into the book of Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 1 verses 4 to 14 where Christ is superior to angels. Now, how many of you know that angels exist? Okay? And they are magnificent and they're glorious beings and they've been created by God to be His messengers. And the reason why in this chapter the author of Hebrews is putting so much emphasis on angels is because in that day, I'm not going to get too theological for you, but in that day, there was a belief, it was called Gnosticism. Say that with me, Gnosticism. And it was the belief that anything that is matter was evil. So because angels are spirit, and Jesus, when he was on earth, was matter, that they believed that angels were superior to Jesus. And from that belief of Gnosticism, there's a lot of beliefs right through to this day that kind of have piggybacked on that. They may not know that it came from Gnosticism, but there's all sorts of crazy, crazy beliefs. And the author here, he is saying, no, Jesus Christ is superior. Now, he's not saying that angels aren't glorious and they're not wonderful and they're all of these things. But what he is saying, he's saying that there's no name like the name of Jesus Christ. And so that's where we're going today. And they tend to consider, some people consider angels more important than Jesus or whatever. And they tend to, maybe it's because they feel they can't approach God, so they think that they go to angels or they have a guardian angel looking after them all the time. Maybe they feel unworthy. Maybe they just don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, is Christ. Maybe they just don't believe. And maybe it's just kind of easier to go with whatever wind is blowing in culture and society. But we know this morning that He is the Son of God. And as Linda opened up the series, and as we've gone through Holy Week, where we looked at Palm Sunday, we looked at Good Friday, we looked at Resurrection Sunday, Christ is everything. And we get our identity in Christ. We don't get our identity in whether I drive a Mazda CX-5 out the window there. You know, that's not my identity. It's not, my identity is not in how many fishing rods you own, you know, or how many shotguns you own, or whatever. Our identity is in that. And when we start to get that into our spirit and we realize that Christ is all, the author puts him, like he is the name above all names. And when we walk in that, our identity comes from that. It's amazing how better life becomes, you know. And this is what this passage is addressing. It's not denying angels. They do exist. But it's not denying the glory of them. Angels are not God's mediators between us and Him. Only Jesus has that position. Only He is the only mediator between God and us, is the Son, Lord Jesus. Amen? And so that's why it says that when we pray, we go through Jesus to the Father in heaven. We pray in the name of Jesus. You know, we always pray in the name of Jesus. Now, does this mean that we may not have an angel that would help us? Well, yes, we would. We have angels that help us. Does it mean that our lives are not guided or protected or encouraged by an angel? Well, of course. The angel serves Christ. See? The angels are a servant of Christ. They're not a mediator. So the angel is not to be the focus of our attention. I remember one time coming in the service here, and many years ago when we first came here, and there was a few people that would come in, and they would always want to tell me that there were angels up there. Well, I've never seen angels up there. Like, I don't, if you're that good, you could say, okay, there's one there, and there's one there, and there's one there. I've never kind of seen that. I believe that we have angels, but you know what? But I do see a cross there, okay? I see the cross of Jesus Christ right there, and this cross is incredible because you know what? He loves us this much, okay? I can't stand here and say, oh yeah, I see those angels. They love me this much. I'm not diminishing angels. Okay, there's warrior angels. There's all sorts of things. But for us to elevate Christ to the place where he deserves will answer all life's situations. If we give him the honor, we give him the respect, we honor the seat that he sits in, right? He sits at the right hand of the Father. One of the frustrating things for me is that over the years, I know people in the body of Christ, and they never seem to get over something. And it always comes up. It's almost like a hobby horse. And I've gotten over a lot of things because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I've always been a nice guy. Okay, but if you cut me off, I might have some choice words for you and maybe one of these, you know? And so, like all of us, but you know what? The thing is, I told you the story one day. I'm coming off of Oak Street onto Main Street and then over the overpass, or someone else was, and I'm driving along Main Street, and someone cuts right in front of me. And I pull beside them, and I'm kind of like, you know, I have to be careful. I'm the pastor of the church, so you're not going to wave your fist at them, you know. But the thing is, they could tell I wasn't happy. And so then we're driving down Lakeshore, and I was going to turn on Gertrude, and the person drove up right beside me, and they put down, it was the sweetest young lady. And she said, I'm really sorry. She says, I didn't mean to cut you off. And did I feel like about this big? Okay. And so the thing is, and it's funny because I had worship music on in the car. Okay, it's like, praise the Lord, oh my soul. What are you doing? I need Jesus. And you need Jesus. Amen. Amen. Christ alone is the Lord. And both of the angels and us, you know. So this is the direction of this passage. Christ is superior. Far superior to angels. So maybe you're sitting here today and you're wondering, okay, what does this all mean to me? Like, you know, how does this apply to my situation? You don't know my situation. Well, throughout Scripture, throughout the whole Bible, we have stories of people who began their journey well. Right? They began their journey well with God, and they began to love God and everything. And then other things started to creep in. Maybe it was angels. Maybe it was their pride. Maybe it was their wealth. Maybe it was their desire for power. But the Scripture says that there's always been something that comes in and gets in the way of him. So that is why this Scripture applies to you and you and you and all of us today. Because maybe it's not angels that you are making superior to God, but maybe there are things in your life that you are elevating higher than Christ. And I want to encourage you today not to do that. Because this week, how many of you sometimes people get on your nerves? Be honest. Okay, show me. So we have been spending a lot of time with people, you, and we love you. But sometimes we get tired. And so this week, I was getting a little bit irritable. And I'm thinking like, man, like I really don't want to talk to that person this week, you know? And I'm thinking like, what, Ken, you're the pastor of the church. You can't have that attitude, you know? Like, so I had to get away and we took a day off because Linda wasn't feeling well. And then we had their men's evening. So the pastors that were here they came to our house after and we sat around talking. They left at 2 a.m. So we kind of woke up a little later, and then Linda had a cold. But it was just one of those days where, you know, I needed to get into the Word of God. And I needed to elevate Christ to the place where I put Him above my lousy attitude to say, like, oh my goodness, I don't want to talk to Kevin again today. Like, like this. Natalie, she's driving me crazy, you know, like, you know. Natalie, you never drive. Kevin, maybe, not you. Okay? So, like honestly, Nat, if you were Catholic, they would call you Saint Nat, okay? So, you're okay too, buddy. Yeah. And so, you know, whatever it is, this portion wants you to know that Christ is superior and that each of us needs to draw near to Him. We need to draw near to Him. We know that. You've heard that before, but we need to draw near to Him. So how many of you this week, like me, I kind of had a little bit of a little attitude this week. When you reflect back on your week, you should have maybe taken the example that I just gave earlier in the week. Anyone? You want to admit it? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? You know? Thank you. Thank you. You know? And so the thing is, it's like, so this week, we've been forewarned now. Okay, because these events keep happening. Circumstances of life continue to happen. You know, there's no magic wand where you could just make things go away. But a relationship with Christ helps us handle things and walk through things and have the mind of the Father so that we can walk in these things. And that's what we need. We need the mind of the Father. And the only way to have the mind of the Father and the eyes of the Father is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son. Amen? Now, we know all of these things, but we have to apply them because what happens is those people that continue to come to me all the time that need me to hear them or to just speak blessings into their life, they need me. And there's people that need you. And if you're not walking with Christ, then you're no good to them. And as exhausting as it is, you might be the only person that they could go to. So as hard as it is, we need to be right with the Lord so that we could be available for the Lord. Amen? And so we see in verses 4 to 6 that Jesus Christ is deity. He is deity. What is deity? He is God. Like, whatever happened to approaching God with fear and trepidation because He is God, not because He's going to zap you, but because He's so holy. And His holiness will reveal my sinfulness. Like, whatever happened to the fear of that? It's like, oh my goodness, God, You're so holy. And because of Jesus Christ's righteousness, He prays for our righteousness, and I have an opportunity to be righteous. His name is superior. He ranks higher with God than the name of angels or anybody else. He ranks the highest. And when we believe that and we walk in that, it's amazing. What does your name mean? You know, did you know that my name Kenneth, which only my mother and my aunt Millie called me, did you know what it means? It means handsome. Okay? And my mother, I don't know if she knew what it meant, but she would often say when I was a boy growing up, she would always say, Kenneth, you are so handsome. You're so handsome. And you know what? And that gave me such confidence. It gave me such confidence, not so much from a vanity aspect, but from a confidence aspect. You know, did you know that Linda's name means beautiful. And in Spanish, there's no name for Linda. It's actually just a word. It's so when we've been in those countries, they would look and they say, "What is your name?" And they'd say, "Linda." And she said, "Oh, bonita." And it meant beautiful. And you know, as Linda began to walk in that, you know, and continues, I've seen her walk in confidence and grace. And when I discovered the name Jesus Christ and that his name is superior, it did something. It changed my life. And it continues to change my life as I get to know him better every single day. What does his name mean? So you see, the thing is, I walked in that. Kenneth, you're so handsome. I love you so much, my son. You're such a fine boy and all of this stuff. Not all the time, because if you know me, you know the other side too. But then I look at Christ and I could say, I know your name. Your name is superior. Okay? And then he speaks back his righteousness into this little guy here so that I could be righteous, so that I could have a righteous standing before the Father in heaven as you. And that is amazing. That is amazing. This is not something that we should ever get tired of hearing because we come to church and, oh, it's the same. You know, we should never get tired of that. That's where we find our identity. All these shows on TV, everyone's trying to find their identity in the wrong places, and they have more problems in their life than they've ever had. And people need to find their identity in him. And when we are in the Word and when we are in praying, then we are available to introduce them to this superior name. But if we are not in the Word and we are not praying, then we have no right, we have no legal right to tell anyone about him. But when we are, how many people in the world need to know the name Jesus when they meet a righteous Christian? A righteous Christian. There are things that we dabble in and we do in our lives and habits that we have and stuff that are not honoring to the Lord. Now, this church isn't a church about all legalisms and do's and don'ts and everything, but there's some things, so let's forget about the don'ts and let's just focus on the do's. And the do's are absolutely wonderful because the do's really create freedom. So we think about the narrow road and we think, well, if you watch the wide road is all full of those sinful joys, and the narrow road is narrow. But that narrow road is where freedom is. And the real freedom is in that narrow road. And it sets you free and there's joy in that. How did Jesus ever walk in the joy that he walked through when he was tempted by the devil the way he was? And he was joyful. So when I discovered that Jesus Christ is, his name is superior, he is incredible. God said to Christ, not to angels, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Amen? Christ and Christ alone is the begotten Son of God. He alone shall save us and keep us from perishing. No angel or anything else can do that. Did you hear what I said? Anything else. Anything else. Therefore, we must look to Christ and to Christ alone. And Christ has a Father-Son relationship with God the Father. Okay? Now, throughout a relationship with Jesus Christ, I can learn how to be a spiritual son. And I could learn how to be a spiritual father. And there's some times that I have to be a spiritual son. And it doesn't mean that I'm sitting under an older person, but it could be Mary Ann, who's on our pastor's council, and she just needs to, she's discerning, she's discerned that she needs to speak some wisdom into my life because I'm being blindsided by something. And she would come alongside and I would sit under her as a spiritual son because she's depositing something in me, or vice versa. And so because of the relationship with Christ, because of the relationship with the Father, I can be an amazing spiritual son, and I could be an amazing spiritual father, so that I'm sensitive enough so that I will come. And so, Gene, you've traveled and everything like this. So, you know, this week, Saskatchewan, you're crazy. And so as a spiritual father or a spiritual brother, I could come alongside and I could sense you, instead of saying, like, so how's it going this week? And I wait like 3 seconds so that I could start talking about myself. You know what I mean? Amen? How many of you are like that, honestly, this morning? You ask someone a question and you don't wait for the answer. And they already told me. They like me. And so Jesus Christ has opened the way to God for us. Amen? Amen. Did you know that Jesus is worshipped by angels, not the other way around? They worshipped him. When he was born into this world, he was attended to and worshipped by angels. When Jesus was taken out of this world above, at the resurrection and ascension, he was attended and worshipped by angels. When Jesus Christ turns again, he shall be attended to and worshipped by angels. Amen? So therefore, our worship, our hope, and our attention and our praise is to be upon Christ. It's to be upon Christ. We are to be seeking Christ as our way to God. Jesus Christ has the name that is the most excellent, excellent name. He's deity. He is God's heir. Amen. Angels are only created subjects. Jesus Christ is God, sovereign majesty. The point is clear this morning. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not created servant of God. He is the sovereign majesty of the universe. He is God and he rules over everything. Jesus Christ is totally devoted to righteousness. Amen? Now hear me, because I'm not going to go right through the end this morning. But I want to say this. Jesus Christ is devoted to righteousness and to perfection. He's devoted to that. You want to know what he's like? He is devoted to righteousness and to perfection. He rules and reigns in righteousness. His very nature and being is righteousness. And the love of righteousness permeates and flows through his very, very being. Righteousness is the only thing that he knows. This is our Jesus. So he came to earth to secure righteousness for us, to walk in righteousness. Are you like me and feel a great need to get close to this Jesus that we're talking about this morning and to be able to walk in righteousness? I'm not talking about getting someone cut off so that you don't do it anymore. I'm talking deeper than that. I'm talking about his righteousness, his holiness. He has been exalted to God's right hand, which is a position of love and joy, honor and dignity, triumph and victory, rule and authority, power and sovereignty, responsibility and duty, justice and judgment. The only acceptable view for us this morning is that he is superior. Amen. Is he superior to you? Would you all stand with me this morning? We're going to receive communion this morning, and I'm going to ask a worship team to come, and I'm going to ask Cheryl and Linda to come and to assist me as we take communion. Mm-hmm.